Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone, and thank you for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So we have been looking at some very key conversations for us as a local assembly. And I don't know why the Lord is going to have us have these discussions at our 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. prayer sessions, but I think it's in place. I think it's in place. Are you blessed? Are you getting to learn something? Are you getting better in your relationships? All types and all forms of relationships. All right. Put it to practice or put it to use. Now, this evening, I'm going to be talking about, of course, still around the same conversations. We started looking at, you know, then we looked at how that we are supposed to learn to be given to that form of teamwork, pastors with leaders, and then with people in the congregation as well, people in the congregation as well. And I taught us how important it was. Then we narrowed it down to just seeing how we could get, or we can build strong relationships amongst ourselves. And then we moved on into having conversations around, you know, taking cautions on not separating or not causing divisions by means of being choosy or picky about the relationships in the local assembly. Now, within the local assembly, of course, there are other relationship, or there is a kind of relationship that may sprout out, which I just want to, I'm not going to touch on it very in-depthly, but I'm going to talk on it, you know, passingly. And then this would be good ground for us to maybe talk about it some more, some other time. You know, in the local assembly, there are times where the privilege of us being together as a family sprouts up into other families or other earthly families being formed. So I want to be able to touch on it slightly, because it's another relationship that if I joke with as a pastor, I will laugh at the wrong side of my mouth. Yes, so to save everybody, I have to touch on it. Maybe not in-depthly, but I have to give something that clears the air. See, then everybody knows how it's done. So, for example, you're in the local assembly. You get to see a sister, or you get to see a brother, and you suddenly show a certain kind of form of interest in them. What are you supposed to do? going to do this maybe in points. Maybe it's going to help so that I don't have any surprises. Now, if I also teach you and you don't do it that way, it means that you are telling me that you are disobedient. Right? So we're going to work with you, or we're going to work on you. So there's that tendency for us to grow, to pick up interests, you know. Maybe we all know that the way, maybe, let me not mention names. I intended to mention names, but let me not mention names. If not, it becomes very tenuous. So I'm going to use A and B. And that is going to help us. You know, number one, you have to be very much intentional, definitely, about submitting your request to your pastor. That is very, very important. Yes, you have to submit it to your pastor. Not that you have already gone to say something to the person you have intentions for. The moment the feelings start coming and you start to have intentions, you are not supposed to go ahead and go and say that, hey, I can't sleep without you. No. It's very, very dangerous when you do that. The first thing you do is to submit it to the pastor. Oh, pastor, this is what I've realized about this particular sister. You know, yes, we have been seeing her. Yeah, but I think there's something that is more to that. Right? So you're going to submit that to the pastor. You're going to make sure your pastor is aware of what is going on. Some of you have, or you go to make the people aware before you now come and tell the pastor that this is what you have to do. And that is very wrong. The pastor is supposed to be aware, because the pastor is the one who leads the local assembly. If I teach you this and I realize you don't do this, again, I'm saying that it will be assumed that you are disobedient. Right, so the pastor is supposed to be aware of what the intention is. Pastor, the ladies, do not hide people coming to behind the pastor. Have you informed pastor about this thing? Say, oh no, I wanted to inform you before so that I will know if there is something happening. No. It's supposed to be pastor first before you go to inform. If pastor gives you the go ahead, so oh, this sister is already, because some are already some way, but they have not brought it out. But they say, oh, this sister is already something wrong. So you may want to not go in that direction. Maybe you can go in the left direction because this is what is happening. Right. And you see, you that you are making a choice, you have to be very intentional, right? Because you wouldn't want to make a choice on somebody that is not the right choice, right? That's why you must look around. That's why the sisters who don't do anything in church, how would they notice you? You don't serve with a smile. You come in only gyms. Gyms in the service, gyms out of the service. How would they see? Like that. In the church. And like I said, if I don't teach on it, I may laugh at the wrong side of my mouth. And that is why I'm unashamedly just touching on it. I'm not going into any depths of the conversations. I'm going to touch on it. Right? So you want to be able to speak to the pastor about it. Now, once the pastor gives you the go-ahead, it means that you are now going to have the opportunity to relay out your intentions to the I remember this one that I can mention name because I think it's already passed. You know, I remember Cervantes at that time, but this has concerns marriage. He came to tell me that, Pastor, Pastor, should I? I said, hey, you have to go for it quickly. Because I showed him parameters. I said, this one will help that one. This one is not really the best, you see. But then you can manage it very well. But all in all, I think you have a good wife. You see, I think we have a secret that I can't share here. Yes. Because I believe that I played a major role also in telling him that, hey, stop looking anywhere and just face your front and go for it quickly. You see that? So the pastor is supposed to be involved actively in the relationship. He's supposed to be aware. This is what you are doing. This is where you are going. You know, there are some people who go and do their things and they will now come and tell you, they'll give you a gist on what they have done. Say, we are marrying next week. We just came to inform you. And yes, we'll come. You didn't tell us, but we'll come for your wedding. It's not a problem. But that's how we do it over here, right? So the pastor is supposed to be aware. You lay out your submissions before him. You get the pastor actively involved in whatever it is you're happening, that's happening in the relationship. You keep pastor actively aware. If she's disturbing you or he's disturbing you, either of the case, you make pastor aware. You make him, you carry him along in the relationship that you have. Why? Because he stands as God's voice of instruction and guidance to you in that relationship. Right? So pay attention to this. Now, while you are in there, or while you are looking from afar, you want to be able to access the person's understanding of God's word and their love walk with God. You see, it's always a very clear picture. If somebody loves God very much, genuinely, they are going to be able to pick that same love and give it to you. You're going to be able to pour out that love also for you. So, you want to be able to access the person's love walk, the person's, you know, heart for God and his plans and his purpose. How they want to fit in. If you're a Christian brother and you just have a sister, she's always talking about this kind of hair, this kind of bag, this kind of sandals. She never talks to you about, hey, the ministry is going to grow. I see you preaching. I think it's something you have to think about again. You see, I think it's something you have to think about again. Yeah, so there is need to access that. Their personal walk with God, their personal love with God. Now, you also have to access their commitment. You know, you need to be very much intentional about the person's commitment. You know, check and find out what their church activity levels are also like. You know, like I said, I'm not going to go deeply into it. I'm just going to pass on it so that at least we have something to run with, because it's not something I've taught before. But I have a lead to take. If I'm teaching on relationships, I think I should just pass through this one quickly, right? So you want to be able to, you know, confirm all of these variables. You know, if the person had a past relationship, you want to just find out, you know, what happened. You know, why did this brother leave you? Or what was the reason, you know, because you want to know what is going on. Same for the ladies as well. You are also going to be asking the same things. This is side on side, right? Great. Then you want to be able to pay attention to the present relationship, whether it's smooth or stormy. Pay attention to that, because that translates into what your final home is going to be like. Right? That translates very much into what your home is going to be like. So you're getting pastor involved actively in all of these things that are happening. Where you have questions, you ask pastor, you know, one or two disagreements here and there, it will be solved. Then you are fine. You are in church. You are serving the Lord. Of course, you want to also pay attention to their family as well. Because, of course, you are not going there yet, right? But you want to know, oh, are there any differences? You know? Also know from your family very well whether they don't want you to marry Ashantis or they don't want you to marry Fantis. Because sometimes these things are things that can trigger in certain fights, you know, at very latter minutes or very latter sense. So get to know, get to carry your family along. Of course, just make sure it's not secretive. You know, it's not something that is very secretive. You know, it's very important that you get to have all of these. Get to know what your dad thinks. Not that you are introducing her, but get to know. All this within the confines of pastor is aware and pastor is giving the green light. Pastor agrees that all of these things should happen. Get to know. Put it in a puzzle form. There's somebody around me that is this, that, daddy, what do you want to say? Mommy, what would you say about it? Auntie, what would you have to say about it? You know, so you want to get to submit these things early enough. Get to know their mind concerning it. So that there is not so much of a resistance in the decision else that is made. Right? So all of these things that are happening, there are also some very key and important things you need to pay attention to. of course, their health, you know, of course, both of you, your health. And so is the person okay? Is the person, what's the person's sickling status like? What does it look like? What is their HIV status like? You know, is there any other medical condition? Epilepsy, blood pressure, high fever, other conditions that you need to be aware of. You know, of course, you are going to be in faith and believing God for them, but at least you have to know what the natural points to or what they naturally say, right? Because you need to know what you're looking for. And when you find what you're looking for, you will know what you're looking for. Pay attention to their background, educational experience. You know, educational, is this something that you want to do with? Is this something that you don't want to do with? Maybe the person has gone to school, maybe the person has not gone to school. Right, all of these things need to be checked. Of course, when you go to the hospital and you find all of these things happening, of course, within the consent of your pastor, you've taught us that we should do this after you're giving us the go. So we intend to go to the hospital, right, to run one or two, checks. Want to just find out what is the issue? Want to just know? Check for HIV too. Sickling status. Other known conditions. Very important. Right? Now these are very key and very essential. In, you know, having a very good home. Remember, I've been speaking about relationships. We're still talking about this type of a friendly relationship that leads into something that concerns marriage. So what is all of these things? You have to make sure all of these things are well sorted out, right? Aside the fact that the person loves the Lord, the person is serving in the church, the person, do all of these natural checks. Be sure about it. Make sure every one of you, you're fine. Make sure you know yourselves with regard to this, so that it helps you as well. Now, it is important that you are exhorted to desist strongly from premarital affairs. You see, I was telling somebody that what makes the marital union very beautiful is when you're able to keep yourselves, and then you get married. You see, but when you are fornicated, there's nothing to be excited about. So you have to make sure, of course, because God also doesn't agree to that, right? So you have to make sure that you desist from anything that will cause you to fall in for these things. Now, if you've realized that in my conversation is around the local assembly, so it is intended that whoever it is you're going to be flowing with is going to be within the confines of a local assembly. But then I'm also going to teach on it just in case the person is not part of a local assembly. But I don't teach that. I advise strongly that everybody should be inside so that we are all moving in the same ship. So I will get somebody outside. It can happen. It can happen. But then it should not happen. But it can happen. Right? It can happen. But then it should not happen. But then, so you see that there are things not to do. There are things not to do. I just want you to be true. It's like you find you sitting on someone's lap. Don't do that. There are things that you shouldn't engage yourselves in. You know, things like you're trying to hold a person, kiss the person. Those things are not allowed within the confines of a non-marital relationship. Don't stay indoors alone with the person. Don't be in isolated places at odd hours. Don't touch the person in a sensitive way. Don't sleep or lie on the same bed with the person. It's not the right thing. It's very wrong. Don't undress in the presence of the person. No fondling. Don't fornicate. Don't have sex. Whether on call or in person or whatever, they are all wrong. The ladies, don't allow anybody mess up with you. It is very, very, very important that you get to understand some of these things and how important it is. You know, sometimes people make mistakes. Right? They make certain sacrifices that are not supposed to be made. Don't commit so much to a relationship that is not marital. Don't commit so much to it. When I say commit so much, is you have something to do with the person. The person has done a lot of things with you. You know, there are things that have gone on, things that have happened. You see, that should not be the case. There must be that sense of responsibility in that relationship. There must be that. And you know, very young people should not enter into relationships for courtship. You shouldn't enter into any relationship. What are you going to do with it? If you don't have anything marriage in view, don't get into a relationship. Why do you want to be in a relationship but you are still in school? You don't even have a job yet at sight, but you want a relationship. Yeah? If you are younger, you are still in school, you don't need a relationship. You just be worrying yourself for nothing. you play with your life, and then you get to realize that your life is finished. So you must only get into relationships that lead to marriage. If not, don't get into it. If you know you're not getting married, you don't need a relationship. You know, sometimes you can ask somebody, maybe the person is in a knowing relationship with a sister, say, are you getting married? Say, I don't think we will. Why are you in a relationship if you don't think you will? Because the reason for doing that is to get married. You ask a brother, are you getting married to the sister? Say, oh, pastor, I don't think. So if you don't think, why are you in a relationship? You should be able to know why you are in that relationship. And the relationship is because you have a vision to marry. So I only advise relationships that drive towards marriage. And to you who is being used, they will throw you away one day. Yeah. You see, this sister said, you have to know this brother. So. Huh? They are not here. There's no brothers here. But the sister, just in case the brother is here, you have to know these brothers. But there's no brother. All the brothers here, they are correct. But you have to know. You have to know. If you give yourself out very cheaply, you are not going to be very happy. Your relationship is not going towards marriage. It is going towards fornication. If it's not going towards, it's going towards fornication. I'm just telling you in advance. Some of you, you hack like you are married to the lady. It is very wrong. Like you are married to the lady. There's a time to refrain from embracing, and there's a time to embrace. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 5. Don't hug the sisters like you are married to them. They are not your wives. Hug with sense. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 5. It says a time to scatter stones and a time to gather, a time to embrace and a time to turn away. Be very spiritual a little. Don't just be hugging people's wives. You can hug, but there's a way you hug that there's something very fishy about the hug. When you marry your wife, then you can hug her like that. So you have to be careful. Now, when me, I don't stop anybody from getting married. I don't stop anybody from getting, if you want to get married tomorrow, where do you, but between now and tomorrow, your pastor must have approved. You must have paid attention to all of these things. And you must be sure. There is no, pastor, I put blindfold on my eyes. I didn't know. There's nothing like that. You choose one, that's all. That's what you picked. It's like try your luck balloon. Say number 17, and your heart is now beating. They should show you what you chose. Yeah, so I don't stop anyone from getting married. I even want you to get married if you have the right person. There's nothing that stops you from getting married. If I'm going to do my ordination quick, then I can wed you fast by September. We'll have weddings. Oh, yes. Yes. So those of you, our church, we don't do money for weddings. We do weddings for weddings. It's not that if you have money, then there'll be weddings. No. If you have wedding, if you have lady or man, that's wedding. Yeah, so there's nothing stopping us from doing. It's not money. Even though money is important. Please, oh, listen to me. Oh, don't say that. My pastor said money is not important. What I have is 5 cedis, 50 pesos. I will slap you, ma. 5 cedis, 50 pesos. Let's be serious. Huh? Somebody's daughter should follow you with 5 cedis, 50 pesos. No. So, five cities what? Plenty faith. The same God. Five cities, plenty faith. Five cities, the same God. Okay. I taught you faith. So it's valid. It's valid faith, believing, confessions. All right. So you should have something, eh? At least something to, that you say, those who still be uncompleted building. Eh? My brother, don't hurt anybody's. Daughter. So I don't have a problem with I don't have a problem getting married old, getting married young. None of them, all of them is all good. I'm saying this because I'm your pastor, and of course what I teach you is what I probably would have learned from God's word via experienced mentors. In fact, I was at last 2 weeks, I went for my Rhema director invited me for Creating Healthy Families. I actually learned something very interesting from going for those meetings. So they are going to be based on God's word, and of course based on the counsel that I can give you, which is also from God's word. Yeah. And those of you who, ladies, who say the man must be 5 years older than me. Life is not about years. Huh? A lady can marry somebody that is younger than her beautifully. Yes. If only you listen. Yes. If only you listen. So begin to flash all those things from your mind. I'm 2 years older than him. If you are 2 years older than him and he's mature enough to marry you and he's mature enough to have a relationship with you, and you also have, there's nothing wrong with it. I wanted to mention men of God that have their wives older than him, but I think it would be dishonorable. But they are there a lot, quite a number I can mention. You'll be shocked if I mention their names. You'll be shocked. Yeah, so there's nothing, I don't think age should be like a very serious consideration. It's when you don't respect that you need age, the ladies, yeah. When you don't respect, when you say the person is 5 years older than you, then you now begin to respect. But I think that is gross disrespect in itself. Yeah. Human beings are supposed to be respected, irrespective of whatever age they are. So the most important thing is the person mature enough to drive the relationship from the standpoint of being a man. That is all. Age is nothing. Yeah, age is really not a problem. If you are humble, age is not really a problem. Yes, age is not really a problem. So you need to be able to some of these things that we will start to build within the confines of the local assembly. Like I said, I'm not going to go deep into it because the intent is to give us something that keeps us running in the meanwhile, because we're not dealing with this exactly. We are dealing with this under the auspices of other conversations. So this is more like a pass-through, conversations. And now, before I go, the guys, I'm going to teach you something very, very, very important. Of course, within the same conversations or within the same confines of what we are talking about. And there's something called the strange woman. Because there is something called a strange woman, and you need to be aware of who a strange woman is. You see, why is she called a strange woman? In fact, we call her a strange woman because in Proverbs 5:20, we see that it says we'll be ravished with a strange woman. She's also called an evil woman in Proverbs 6:24. To keep thee from the evil woman, the strange woman. See, that they may keep thee from the. So there's something such as the strange woman. And she's a very serious destroyer of precious lives and precious gifts. And precious talents, you know, and it's necessary for you to survive. And she's called strange because she sows seeds of fornication, lust, adultery, and on both sides, homosexuality. So you find out that an innocent brother or sister. Now, if you are a sister listening to me, a strange man. So it's two sides. So the men, a strange woman. Sisters, a strange man. So you see that when he appears, he sows seeds of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lust. You see, lust. You know, one time, I saw someone, and the Lord said that, the Lord just spoke to me quickly. There is lust that operates in this person. Yes, there is lust that operates in this person. Yes. And people like that, when you stay around them longer, you contract the spirit of lust. Yes, you contract the spirit of lust. You start becoming lustful. Just because they carry something strange that is lustful. Yeah. So you see that an innocent sister would just have a brother. She has kept herself to serve the Lord. One brother is the reason why she begins to have, she begins to sleep around. In that sense, that has become a strange man to you. If you're a man, it's become a strange woman to you. Hey, don't let any woman take God's place in your life. When you see that you are thinking too much about a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you have to be careful. It means that the person is taking centrally God's seat and God's place in your life. You have to give God where he belongs, and you also give them where they belong. Not that you have to be thinking about them all through. Yes, it's true. Those married, the strange woman will be the woman that comes from outside and comes to wreck your home. That is the one. One that wants to cause your husband to fornicate and to, there's no word like adulterate, but adultery. That should be kukwasa, something, text messages, you know, calls, sending things. Hey, you say that is a strange woman. And if you are married, you have to get up. You have to say that, hey, it's not my home. You start with prayers. Yes. And you start with, what do you call it? Spicing up your game. Hey, you people, I'm good marital counselor. So you should ask the people who have come to me for counseling. You see. But I'm not going into that for now. You know, one time I gave some counsel to some marital pastor. I said, Lord God. I said, wow. What a blessing. Yes, but that is that. So, back to our conversation. You see, these are people who sow seeds of fornication, adultery. You have to, strange. Some other renditions will call her prostitute. You know. You see. And some, they didn't plan to lose their virginity at a certain age, but it happened some way because of a strange fellow. See, a strange fellow. So I'm going to show you how to, like, to recognize a strange man or a strange woman. It's all part of the relationship. Yes, all part of the relationship. We'll be out of here in 15 minutes. There's a type of a strange woman. She's calculating. Yeah, so we can call her like a calculating strange woman. She knows exactly what she's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah. The goal is to get you to fornicate, to have adultery, to have homosexuality, to lust. That's the goal. Yeah. Her aim is to entice, is to lead people into affairs that are not healthy. I saw a lady, I'm sorry to say, but it helps the preaching. Very innocent. She's not here. If she was here, maybe I will not say it. Very innocent. When you see her, she doesn't have a problem. You see that she is very childlike. Hey. The number of people she has slept with. Huh? I said, gee, how old are you again? Yeah, she said if she meets you and she wants to sleep with you, she'll sleep with you. Yeah. Whether you are married or you are not married. That's a typical example of a strange woman. And why am I saying this? It's because they look harmless. they look innocent. At your workplace, they will be, calculating, moving with steps closer and closer, step by step, step by step. I don't think they are in our church, but just in case they are in the church, they are moving around step by step by step. She's standing there and she said, hey, this brother, if I get this brother, and you are moving around innocent, you say, Sister Joy, sister, this, she's there's no joy here, so I didn't mention anybody's name. So say, you have to open your eyes. The calculating man too is the same way. You see them, I just thought to buy you. Oh yeah, come on. Let's take a ride. You know, can you come around? You know, they can also talk. If they talk for you, If they talk for you. The brothers, they are not like that. There's nobody here. But just in case there is a brother like that, if they talk, they take their time and they say everything intelligently and they speak it and they say calmly. If you know, you just be standing there and you say, the Lord God Almighty has blessed. The Lord has not blessed you. The Lord has not blessed you, my sister. The Lord has not blessed you. It is a wild temptation. It's a wild temptation. So there's someone who is intent. Their intent is to bring you down. Shoot you down. Hit you down. And they are done with you again. Their agenda is done. The unintentional strange woman is another. Or the unintentional strange woman. You know, those kind of people, they are the second class of people. They are not aware that they behave like the strange woman. Yeah. You know, there are people who grow up in certain immoral environments. Even the way they look at you. They blink two eyes. Hey! 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 Hey, be careful. Hey, see, they blink with co. Have you seen that blink? Have you watched cartoons before? Cartoons that have cats in them with their cat's eyes. They have a the eyes are blink four times. And the brothers cannot stand because they don't know. Oh, I said I was not going to go. They can't stand. It's like they do it. Pew, 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 pew. You see that the eyes are speaking. The eyes are speaking. Yeah? Eyes are speaking. You know, I told the ladies to dress in a certain way. I said that so that you all look modest and you all look in a certain way. Yes. It helps all of us. Yeah? If I say wear trousers, I think I was under the inspiration of the Spirit. It helps. It helps. Just help. Maybe somehow you never know who is going to help. You never know. I'm not saying no way. You can wear skirts, but I said trousers. And I said maybe some skirts. Longer skirts. Decent, longer skirts. Yeah. Yeah. a real life story of a man of God who went to preach somewhere, and the lady who came to church sitting in the congregation, and she has opened her legs. Yes. she has opened her legs. First seat, man of God. You are preaching on a Sunday morning. What would you do? Huh? That's why the ushers must be very sensitive too as well. When you see that somebody is dressed in a certain way, give them fifth seat, fifth row. Yeah, it's not good. You can't sit in front. See how they wear their things. Hey, the boys, you have to pray. Oh. See how they wear their things. You are coming to church. Common sense cannot tell you that this thing is a revealing cloth. Huh? It's a revealing cloth. You should know. So know that I'm revealing a very sensitive part of my body because it's not supposed to be so. Then you cover it. Don't say that. How? You are also coming to the church for another fashion show. See them tuck their shirts. They will be in the church. Sticked out. The brothers, don't be following that one. I'm a pastor. Mine is to teach you. But that one, you see a brother still following. You see him still chasing like a dog. Following, hardly is chasing. That's the one he wants in the church. You look all around, you don't see anyone. Oh, I'm going to leave you. I think I'm doing a good job. I've not thought it this way before, but I think it's helpful. A pastor teaches me to teach it like this. Okay. Thirdly, is a professional strange woman. Yeah, a professional strange woman. Professional strange woman. Yeah. These are known as prostitutes. Yeah, they are officially prostitutes. They will sleep with a man in exchange for dinner, sleep with a man in exchange for whatever. They are just... They sleep around professionally. Yeah. They trade their bodies for things. So if you are here, you say, I needed to pay my school fees, so I had to go and sleep with a man to sort out my school fees. Another name for that art is prostitution. Yeah. You sleep with your boss to get promoted. It's a professional way of getting what you want. Yeah. They sleep their way to the top. Yeah. Don't say never. Pray for yourself. Just pray for yourself. Don't say never. Pray. Pray that you will never be. You will never. Say, I pray that God helps me. Don't say never. It's never is too. It's quite high sounding. Hey, Lord, help me. That's a good prayer. Never. Never. You have to be intentional. On the flip side is a strange man. You like, oh, come on. Oh, yeah, I can take care of you. I can do that. I can do this. I can take care of you. I will take care of you. I want to do this. I'll marry you as my second wife. I'll buy you this. I'll really love you. I'll care for you. I'll cherish you. I'll nurture you. how strange man. The moment he's done, he'll disappear. He'll disappear. And your life would have been wrecked. But in Jesus' name, nobody is becoming that. And nobody's falling innocently for that. You know, nobody's falling. It's the ladies that are always on my heart. Because they normally will just be there and then, you know, they start to have these things. The guys, if you teach them, they are able to work around. And the guys don't also play that role of being a strange man. You know, not role of being a strange man, role of being a strange woman, role of being a strange this. Don't let people like you. You know, don't be happy when somebody likes it. I'm a lover boy. I'm a lover boy. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. You see, you are in trouble. You have to even carry yourself so much that the sister will even be afraid to say something in a certain way. Or the brother will even be afraid because you are a pure-hearted brother. Yes. I can say this very strongly. My entire life and ministry, the Lord's grace, number one, prominently, has been the one to keep me. But then there's also a way that you are very sincere. You see, you are very sincere. You are very sincere. You see the sisters as your sisters. You treat them in purity. There's nobody that I don't see as my daughter. When I see them, I feel like they are. I feel like I gave birth to them. Yes, I'm not lying to you. Yes, I'm not lying to you. One time I was in a car with one of the a number of the brethren, and then there was a sister, and I remember I was eating mango, you know, and I took, you know, the stick I used to eat the mango. I took the thing. I thought she was my sister. I took the thing, the same stick, and I gave it to her, and I said, eat the mango too. And she also took the mango and she ate from my stick. So when she gave the stick back to me, I now occurred to me that, hey, you are a pastor. But I didn't see it like that. I saw it like my daughter who was in the car that I'm eating mango. I said, just take it, take it, take it and also eat some. Yeah, take it and eat some. You want to eat some? Take it and eat some. You see me having to, I give it to eat some. So that's how we are going to treat the sisters, with a lot of purity. Do you see that? We're going to treat them with a lot of, don't handle them carelessly. Don't handle them badly. Don't handle them wrongly. You know, don't lead them on into certain emotions that you know very well those emotions are not valid. Don't do that. Be sincere with them. Be honest with them. Huh? Be honest with them. You see, I've always told you that, for example, if you are within the confines of a local assembly, you are a brother. The reason why you should be patient before you now say, I'm courting this person, is because you don't want to break the person's heart. You know, and that's why I always tell the brothers, take some time, relax, get to know the person better. Before you even tell the person anything, just get to know the person. Because when you get to know the person, you are more likely going to be more sure about your decision. But if you just see a sister has just appeared, then you just go to her, then 3 months' time, you have to break up again. You see, you end up hurting the sister. Yes, you end up hurting her. You end up hurting her. So because you don't want to hurt her, you give yourself and her ample time to be able to make a very good decision. You end up hurting her. But you don't want to hurt her because you know why? You have a vision that far surpasses a natural relationship. You have a vision that far surpasses a natural relationship. So you would rather not hurt her. You would rather keep a friendly relationship. Get the relationship growing in depths of friendliness. Yes. And then later on, you can now come and say, oh, I want to have something to do with you. But by then, you would have been either too sure. You see, when you are friends and you are not sure again, and it falls in water, the pain is not really there. You see, it's not really there. Were we not friends? But friends, it's like it has fallen in water. It's not really there. But when you make commitments with your words, people get to know. Somebody in the family is now aware. You do the, then you now leave the person. You see, it begins to worry the person, but you don't want to worry the person. So you have to be more slow. You know, why are you in a hurry to? You have to be more slow. Pay attention. Look at it. Look at it again. Look at it again. Look at it in different shades. Don't be quick to say, I love you. I'm committing to you. No, look at it carefully. Look at it carefully. Would this person help? You know, as you go, you see a shade of the person's character, which will make you say, this one, no, not this one. But you have not made any commitment. See, you have not made any commitment, but you have seen something that you are sure that it's not this. See, you are sure. Because she would have showed you a certain shade. You said, not this one. There are also shades that you see that you say, it's this one. It is this one. Right? So I want you to begin to. I've said a lot, summed up in whatever I've told you. But then I want you to listen to me as your pastor, as I teach you God's word. And I teach you how to handle situations like this. Right? Yes. And if maybe I'm not a good example, I don't know if I am. But you can ask anybody that knows me whether I have treated them wrongly or I have hurt people. You know, sometimes you can have people hurting people with but a pastor, but he's hurting people. Yes, you're a pastor, but you are hurting people. You have moved from this person to that person to this person to that person, this person to that person, and everybody is hurt in the whole assembly. Pastor, you have dated 4 people in the church. How many are you? One church. 4 people, 5 people, 7 people. God have mercy on me. I'm just saying that at least I have quite some stance to say what I'm saying to you. Because my life is an open book and an open example by the special grace of God and the mercy of God bestowed on me as his servant. See? Yes. He said, nobody... What? It's okay. I'm not even supposed to tell you anything. But I'm trying to tell you that it is a good thing for you to be patient. It is a good thing for you to also make a decision when you are sure. Don't be so slow that you don't make a decision when you are sure. When you are sure, you can make a decision. Right? You pay attention to the strange man, to the strange woman. Don't be enticed by their wealth, by their influence, by their affluence, by their sophisticated looks. Don't be enticed by that. Right? So you're going to be on the lookout. You're going to pay attention to this. You're going to be more intentional about making a very good decision. And most importantly, you are also going to pray about it. When you pray that God should help you and God should have mercy on you and me and everybody. I mean, everybody is supposed to pray. So you are going to pray that God should be kind to you and God should be good to you and God should be merciful to you. Do you understand? I wish you all the very best of this kind of relationships as the years or as the decades go by. And I believe with these teachings, they are going to help. I don't know how well it has helped, but I'm trusting that it helps till the time being we have a conversation related to this again. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace, for your love, for your compassion giving us. Thank you for helping us in this area as well. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Don't forget all the instructions I've told you. If you follow them just as simply as it comes, you are more likely to turn out well, as God's word is that lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.